All right, we're back again on Sight to the Blind podcast. My next guest is Nick Pastrana, the winner of the lottery, who also of the three people out of the 1,000 people who sent me these numbers, picked 27. So what's up, Nick? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So let's jump right into it. When was your first awakening into this truth?
It was through you. Truthfully, the only reason I was following you is I used to be a diehard Chiefs fan, man. I gave it all up, bro. once I started finding it out, I gave it all up. Mm-hmm. So and then I've always kind of been conspiratorial, you know, mm-hmm. in that way. So I was like, oh, look, like Larry kind of posted that. So I like that. So I kind of tuned in. You were in the algorithm, you know. And then probably around this time last year, I noticed that everything that was going on, you were tying back to Yah, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, you know, let me dig into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I was like, oh, wait, he's talking about what the common man calls God, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just, a lot of people kind of get these blocks, right? Using God, using the word Jesus. And I just, none of that ever felt right to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in like a religious household or anything like that. But, you know, hearing Yahusha, I'm like, that sings to me a little bit. Like, I feel that, you know? So that kind of uncovered the door and just kind of kept digging a little bit more, you know? Led me to like Truth Unedited. So spent a lot of time watching Brother Ron's videos as well. Mm-hmm. I know you had him on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So just doing that and got myself a scripture probably last like December. And again, the last year, ever since I decided that I wanted to, you know, uncover this and kind of, this is the life I want to live, you know, we've been presented with challenges, you know, yeah. So it's just funny how that works.
I'm going to ask you to dig back a little bit. How was your upbringing when it comes to spirituality? Were you just not knowing of God or knowing of Jesus, or are you just now coming into the full-fledged scriptures? Sure. How was your family like growing up?
So I'm Puerto Rican. Okay. You know, most Puerto Ricans, many tend to be like Catholic. Like my dad grew up in the Catholic tradition, you know.
Okay.
I didn't have my dad growing around. I didn't meet my dad until later in life. My mom, my grandma, they never really went to church. Really didn't have it. The only person that did like that did read the Bible was my grandpa. But there was like a language barrier there. His English wasn't good. I didn't speak Spanish well. So we never really got to talk about that, you know. But I do firmly believe that I know that man prayed for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I do believe that his prayers are at least a part of the reason, you know, why Yah presented himself to me and called me. Mm-hmm.
How has this awakening been in your household or amongst your relatives and your bloodline? How has this awakening affected you?
So I live in Florida now. Most of my family's in New York or in Pennsylvania. Okay. You know, so my family doesn't really know, not that they would be opposed of it. Like whatever I do, my family like supports me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have noticed like my mom definitely knows that I've been going to, you know, been reading scripture and doing those things. So, I have found that in our conversation, she's been using God more, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
But so when I presented this to my wife, you know, she was like, hey babe, like, if this is the route you want to go, she's like, I'm going to follow you, yeah. You know, which has been amazing to have her behind me like that, you know? So I'm privileged enough to not go and start this by myself. Like I have her, you know, and, then we read scriptures together. I mean, we dive in, we want the truth, mm-hmm. you know? So we double down together and, so it's been good, you know, in the household. She did have two kids previous to me. So it's been a little more challenging, specifically with the older one. Our middle one, he's 10. Our older one's 14. And then we have another son who's 3.5.
Okay.
And that one's together. So the 10-year-old, he's really taken to this. You know, he asks great questions. You know, he's definitely interested. So we're doing our best to foster that. When we started this, like, her and I, we were engaged at that point, but we weren't married. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we lived in fornication, you know. So once we did this, we were like, all right, well, you know, the wedding was way far in the future. Weren't sure how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We're just like, you know what? Let's just elope. So that's what we did. We went to North Carolina. We eloped in the mountains, just basically her mom and a couple friends, nothing crazy, mm-hmm. Because we wanted to be married. And it was important not only to us, but we wanted to please Yah in that way, you know? Okay. So, to answer your question, it's been good in the household. It's super supportive. Family doesn't know much. I would say she grew up Muslim. So she's Albanian. Her family's from Macedonia. Okay. So we really don't talk much about it, you know. They know that we do this, but it's kind of like an unsaid, it's not talked about much.
So when any setbacks with your friendships or in your particular community when you try to tell the truth?
Honestly, definitely lost some friends. Just, we were already growing apart, mm-hmm. you know, but in that sense, definitely. Don't hang out with him. You know, our boys were really close too, because he has a son that's the same age. But, again, it's just like unsaid things. Like, they just never really supported it, you know? Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to shove it down someone's throat that's just not going to be receptive to it, mm-hmm. you know, you just kind of let each other grow apart. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, but yeah, we both definitely been faced with kind of losing people, and even the people that we still do have, it's like, it's almost not the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just feels different. So things are a little lonelier right now, but again, just grateful to have my wife and at least have that one person to talk to and spend our nights together. We're into scripture, you know, we're doing research on, like last night we were watching videos on like the true route of the Exodus, you know, like where did they really go? So, right. That's like I said, it's just a privilege to have her by me, kind of say, hey babe, I'm right behind you, and discover this together with her.
Okay. So when you came into this truth, what was your biggest setback or your biggest hurdle to get over that you really had to buckle down and study? What was that one thing that you were, I guess, meeting a wall? Because everybody hits a wall when they come into the scripture, mm-hmm. I can't do it. I don't understand it. And they just stop. What was that breaking point for you?
You know, I think we're just super privileged to like live in the world that we do today and kind of have the internet, you know, mm-hmm. because, obviously you have to be careful with the information that you're taking in, you know, like, honestly, if you're not preaching, read your scripture and have your own relationship with Yah, like mm-hmm. that's just red flags for me, you know? So it was nice to have all these resources. So when I did hit a wall, it's like, all right, well, let me see what this person has to say about it. Maybe that'll help me understand a little bit. I think at first, just like understanding the scripture, you know, and saying, hey, even if I read for half hour, 45 minutes, and I understand nothing, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to sit down again and I'm going to read again for 30, 45 minutes until some of this starts making sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I definitely think like sitting down and making the time to read something that you might not understand might be a big hurdle for some. Mm-hmm. I know it was for me, but I've stayed, especially lately, I've been super consistent getting in the word. Mm-hmm. The closer you get to Yah, mm-hmm. I do believe the more of the word you understand. You know, it's just like, oh, well, this is regular English, you know, at this point. It's like reading a regular book now, you know, right. I get it. Mm-hmm. So I think reading the word's definitely going to be up there and spending time to do that.
And then you do this as a family, as far as the with the children? Do you try to get them more into reading every other day? How are you with the world and with scripture with them?
Right. So the kids know exactly where we stand, you know, and then we use those words with them. We're like, we're not trying to be of the world, you know, especially with our oldest, like she enjoys those worldly things, you know, and at 14, it's just, it's been very hard to kind of pull her away from those. Like she doesn't want to be pulled away. You know, mm-hmm. she lives in a split household too. So she's with us half the time, mm-hmm. with dad half the time. He's still super involved, you know, which is great. Like you don't want them to not have both their parents, you right. know? So it has been challenging in that sense. Our 10-year-old, we kind of got him like a, kind of like a picture Bible, you know, mm-hmm. it uses God and Jesus, but we tell him, hey, we believe that God's name is Yahweh. We mm-hmm. believe that, Jesus's true name is Yahusha, you know? And he'll spend time reading, you know, and he'll ask questions. I mean, the kid, he's a smart kid, man. He's inquisitive. Like he asks some of the questions he asks. I'm like, man, like, it's crazy that you're asking these questions, you know? So I don't even have the answer. I don't know.
Right.
You know? And then with our little one, we definitely pray over all our, you know, we give all our meals blessings, you know, we'll do prayers before night, you know, and he's even been super engaged in those. He'll say amen. He'll say in Yahusha's name, you know, so just continuing to foster that, really.
Good.
And then spending time with the wife, you know, again, just reading. We definitely do once everyone's sleeping at night, like that's at least an hour where we're doing some sort of study, whether it's scripture, whether it's a book about scripture or something, you know, or watching like documentary style videos on YouTube. That's what we're doing.
Okay. And have you started your first Passover? How are you guys with the feast days?
Right. So I would say this is probably one of the biggest hurdles, you know, mm-hmm. learning. We did do a minor Passover celebration this last year. You know, so we kind of learned when it was last minute, but we did break bread. We did do a little thing. Kind of found like a little outline on Ron's website that we followed.
Okay.
And we will be following Passover from here on out. We've made that decision. Mm-hmm. We will not be following any of these man-made holidays that are coming up. We made that decision at the beginning of the year, gave that up. So learning when the feast days, we did do a fast in the fifth month, you know, okay. you shared that on your podcast. We also will be doing a fast in the seventh month here coming up. We also are going to do a 3-day fast to start, the month of September.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're doing. I wanted to ask you, you know, what mm-hmm. what do you follow for Sabbath? I know some people just do Saturdays. I know some people do the moon cycles. Mm-hmm. So kind of where you're at, how'd you come to that conclusion?
When I had the show, I started with Nick Vanderland's calendar. And I learned it was a solar sun calendar only, that he wasn't calculating or recalibrating the moon along with the sun during the equinox. So when I went to Become Set Apart's calendar, I started using that calendar because he put out two videos, maybe about 2 hours long each. And I kept watching these videos over and over again to make sure the information stuck, make sure he was bringing out different variations of scripture. And he did an awesome job in providing more than one translation, because I know I always tell people to get the Sefer, but I also know there's editing mistakes in the Sefer that as far as what the new moon or the full moon is. And Become Set Apart put out great information about what the full new moon was. So I go by his calendar, which is on becomesetapart.com. And the Shabbats are Saturday morning to Saturday evening. Now that changes coming up this March, because then you have to recalibrate the equinox along with the moon. So if we don't do that, it says in scripture in Jubilees that the moon will be, we will take notice of the moon coming in 10 days too soon. It's because we are not calibrating it right. If you're not using the sun and the moon, it will come in 10 days too soon. So I use his calendar. So yeah, it's a lot of people do Friday, Saturday. It's only because the Judaism, their religion does Friday and Saturday. We are not people of the dark, we're people of the light. So it shouldn't be Friday evening to Saturday evening, it should be sunrise, okay. which is a full day. And then at the end of the day is evening.
another big hurdle, you know, getting in line with those with those Shabbats and with those feast days. And it's not because we don't want to, because that's at the top of the list. It's just learning it. And, you know, if we're wrong, being okay that we're wrong for now, but continuing to keep searching until we're like, you know what, this sinks to us, that we feel it, you know, that the Holy Ghost telling us, hey, you guys are there, you're good.
Right. It's all about learning. And I think people get so frustrated and think that they're supposed to get it right all the time. And it usually happens when people are grandstanding on social media and saying, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, follow me, I'm right. And then when you're exposed to being wrong, now you don't want to say, hey, I was wrong or nothing. You kind of stick with, no, that's not what it means. And you try to find scriptures to validate your wrongness. And I think it's okay to be wrong. We all woke up in this maybe 2 to 3 years ago. If that, it's a learning process. None of us had all the answers when we first started, even though some of us pretended we did. And this is how the Spirit humbles us to make sure we don't know everything. And so I was going to go back to your question about the holidays. How was your kids when you told them that there was no more Christmas?
Honestly, so knowing that they're still going to have Christmas at dad's house.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? I feel like they're like, hey, okay. You know what I mean? Like it's not really knocking them. And then our youngest, Dre, he's so young that I don't think he's really gonna, like, when we take him out, it's gonna be around. But like, even we went to the store the other day and they already got like a ton of Halloween stuff out, you know. And then just tell him, hey buddy, like, we're not doing Halloween this year, you know, like we don't celebrate those things anymore, you know. And just continuing to drill that every time it comes up, you know. And then when he gets a little bit older, we can tell him, hey, like, following these things. I actually told him yesterday, I told him, you know, celebrating Halloween, it doesn't make Yah's heart happy, you know. And just kind of feeding him those things. So when he is a little bit older, we can have a little more complete of a conversation around it. He kind of has a basis for that, you know.
Okay. How are you going to prepare for, I say, economic crisis? Are you thinking about what you're going to do, the steps you're going to have to take to prepare for that, for those crises?
Yes. You know, and it's scary stuff for sure, you know, but just living in faith. Again, we're in an interesting point. Like when we found out, when we decided we want to walk this way. So like, right. My wife's a nurse practitioner, you know, so she does pretty well. And then when we had Dre, it just made more sense for her to make the money, because she did better than me, you know, and me stay home. So we didn't have Dre in some daycare, you know, doing that. We knew we want to raise our son, you know, we don't want the world to raise him. So now when we started coming into the truth, it's like, hey, like we're not living in the proper, organization of the home, you know. So we're trying to flip that, you know, and me become more the provider and get her more time at home. And then with everything economically going on, it's like, man, like it's a big roll of the dice, you know. Right. So honestly, we're trying, we're swinging, you know. Where our ears are open, We're trying to listen for Yah and tell him, hey, y'all need to go this way. You know, I'm calling you this way, you know. But we're still figuring that out.
Do you know the time and day or what you were doing when you felt you were called, or was it a buildup?
It was a buildup. It was a buildup. Like I said, I was following you on the gram, and COVID, I think during COVID, everyone was kind of able to kind of do some research. I mean, I thought outside of the box before that. So like COVID didn't fool us from the beginning. Like, you know, we were like worried for a day, did a little bit of research. So we're like, no. During that research, it was just a bunch of red flags, right? So that didn't fool us from the beginning. We have a pretty extensive background in just health and wellness. You know, we enjoy taking care of ourselves. We're making sure we're eating good food, you know, clean food. We're not, that's just where it's where Anna and I met. It's where we kind of bonded, you know? So, that's a strength of ours. So when COVID happened, we weren't fooled by that. We were able to do, I think during COVID, I was kind of revealed the whole, kind of like pedophilia ring and everything going on, all the corruption, you know, it just became so evident to me. You were posting about that, you were doing your gematria thing, and then tying it all back to Yah. And I'm like, all right. Like, and that was over the course of a couple months. And then I was like, all right, well, let's find out by Yah. Then I started watching Truth Unedited videos, and I was like, man, like, I had this beef with like religion this whole time. And it's because it was like what the mainstream is like a direct pair. It's the story, but it's not the true story. You know, it's those little kinks in the story that just change it completely. And then we went through some personal things. We got pregnant at the beginning of December. And then we kind of had like a scare, like Anna had an ectopic pregnancy, which kind of means, basically the baby got stuck inside her fallopian tube, you know? So, and then where we were at and when we conceived, we were in St. Thomas, we were in the Virgin Islands on vacation, you know, for a friend's 40th birthday party. And just the things we were doing, you know, and partaking in, and just that area in general, you know, literally we were staying in this Airbnb with 10 other friends. And like, you can see Epstein Island, you know, and like, looking back on it, the energy that was there, like in the moment, of course, we were enjoying ourselves, you know, but like, the energy on the island, the Virgin Islands, everything, it's like, it's heavy over there, man. It's dark, you know, like all the locals know what's going on. And it's 2-3 in the morning. You hear these speedboats going on the water and they're zooming. It's like, what are you doing on a speedboat, you know, 2-3 in the morning? Like, nothing good, you know, nothing good. So we ended up getting pregnant at St. Thomas. We came home. She started having some like abdominal pains, like, honestly, right around Christmas, like Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Ended up, she's tough, man. You know, she didn't want to go to the hospital, but it got a little extreme. Went to the hospital, found out it was like ectopic pregnancy. It gets dangerous. You know, like if you don't get surgery, like your fallopian tube ruptures and you bleed out from the inside, you know. So she did have to get surgery, but that whole process, you know, like before we went to St. Thomas, we were already digging into Yah. And then that whole thing that transpired there, we were just like, man, like, I don't know if he was upset with us for digging in and then, you know, kind of doing all these worldly things, you know? But nonetheless, it was the catalyst for us to really say, hey, it's, you know, this is the life we're living, this is the path we're taking, and there's no going back at this point.
And that's one thing that I always want to ask when I have guests on this interview. I'm going to start asking this because I think knowing when you need to be corrected or knowing when you're going through correction needs to be expressed. I think a lot of people are like, oh, the devil's always after me. Satan's after me. And it's most likely their own actions that cause these consequences. So are you coming into this truth and understanding that now it's more about correction than it is about Satan's will?
100%, you know. We were just talking about the story of Moses this morning, and how, you know, Yah didn't let Moses into the promised land. He only let him see it, you know? And Moses's disobedience was the simple thing of when the Israelites, it was at the end of the 40, their 40 years, right? They wanted water, and Yah said, Moses, I think he said, talk to the rock instead of striking. The first time he had to strike the rock, the second time he had to talk to the rock. Mm-hmm. To get water. And he went ahead and struck the rock the second time as well. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was that disobedience that kept Moses out of the promised land. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's that same thing, you know, like that small disobedience kept you out of the promised land. It was just a correction. And Moses was Yah's most, it's the only person could be correct, only person that actually saw Yah, right? Like, Yah went ahead and buried Moses himself. He let Moses live the full 120 years, you know? So Yah had a special place for Moses, and yet he still said, I'm going to correct you, you know? And that's just something for, I'm definitely not Moses. I'm nowhere near that, you know? So for me to think that I can't be corrected by our Elohim is just, it's crazy.
Right. And have you started... I know once you get that fire, you feel like you got to share that fire with everybody. When you come into the mm-hmm. scripture, have you gotten that little itch of trying to teach others yet?
I have, you know, I need to be more confident with it, you know, and put the boots of the gospel on, right? Like in Ephesians, right? And wear the full body or the full armor of Yah, right? So I do have the itch, you know, I know there's a, I don't know. Is there science to doing it? You don't want to like push people away. Just trying to be led by the Spirit, man. I don't know. Yeah. Do I have the itch though? Yeah, I have the itch.
And as far as your wife, I know you said she was Muslim. It was so easy for her just to come away from that and not have any problems with her family or anything like that.
So she got a crazy story, man. They claim Muslim, but they didn't, you know, her parents might follow a few things, like her mom would do like Ramadan, but they're not like practicing Muslims, okay. You know, but like that is their, like when you talk to them about that, that kind of is their belief system. Right. So yeah, it was super easy. Like she wasn't like tied up in that. Her parents, not to steal her story, you know, but her parents were in an arranged marriage. Just her, she's always kind of been like the black sheep, her going out, the older two kids, she had with the black man. Mm-hmm. So just going outside of her culture for those first two kids, like she got disowned, bro.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's nothing that she hasn't gone through before. And like after that, like that was the tip of that iceberg, you know, like it doesn't really get much worse than that. So, she didn't get disowned for this. Like, I mean, we've gotten in one pretty big argument with her parents about it, but we hashed it out, you know, it's all good. It's all love. They're super supportive, of our lives together, you know, not necessarily of us going down this road, but, that's all right. You know, underneath it all, they still love us and, you know, they're not disowning us over this, you know, so.
And since you say you were Puerto Rican, so I mm-hmm. like to expand on how do you mm-hmm. feel about the I would say I don't know where do you see the Puerto Rican community right now, where do you see your people as a nation right now as it relates to this world and the truth at the same time?
I think that the Puerto Rican society as a whole, everyone in the Caribbean, I think they are under the curses of Deuteronomy as well, you know, just like the blacks that came to America under the curse of the tribe, under the curses of Deuteronomy. You know, you look at the Caribbean constantly getting hit by weather events are man-made or not, constantly getting hit by weather. Just that whole area kind of been decimated. Haiti been, you know, been abused by the Clinton Foundation and things along those things. So, yeah, I do believe that the whole Caribbean community is really under the curses of Deuteronomy as well.
And a lot of people say and think that, like, my woman, she's Haitian, and she talk her mm-hmm. parents talk all the time about the political abuse that goes on in Haiti. And do you feel it's the same way in Puerto Rico also? You feel like there's certain politicians that reap and all through Puerto Rico as far as resources and the people?
100%, 100%, you know, and it's a beautiful place. And like when I was in St. Thomas, there was something in me that was like, man, like, you know, like Puerto Rico is 40 miles away, you know, so like you can kind of see the haze of the island when you're on St. Thomas. So I'm like, man, like I feel pulled, you know, like I haven't been back since I was three. Mm-hmm. So it's been almost 30 years, you know? So yeah, I do feel like it's taken advantage of, you know, politically. I feel like the people are kind of like uneducated, you know, not all of them, but just like lack of in the know of what's really going on. And also you see like all the witchcraft that goes on in all those Caribbean islands, doesn't, you know, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Haiti, you know, all of them, right. A ton of witchcraft, you know? So, it's just, it's an interesting state, you know, but, I do see, I see it changing. Like I see more and more people coming, like a couple of people I follow. There's a Puerto Rican dude in Orlando. His name's Pastor Rich. But he hosts I actually went to his service one time. It's called Remnant Revival Outreach Center. Mm-hmm. You know, he uses Yahweh and Yeshua. But yeah, I think he's putting forth a good message, and you see a lot of Spanish people when I went there, you know. So I think that there is an awakening going on in the Spanish community, and I hope that's right.
And you hip to all like celebrities and sports stars and all that. You mm-hmm. see symbolism and what mm-hmm. like what's the most who was an athlete that you followed or admired that you all of a sudden saw the symbolism, like, all right, now I know I got to stop.
Yeah. So like over the past decade, I used to watch it all, bro. Mm-hmm. Like all of it, you know, but like, as I got more responsibility, like it slowly dropped off. So I would say over like the last decade that's happened, over the last 3 years, it's just been football, you know. Last year I didn't really watch other games. I was just watching Chiefs games, you know? But I think just going through and just seeing like Mahomes already like throw up, you know, the sixes, you right. know, and throwing up the horns and stuff, you know, and I'm like, it's like, it's wild, you know, but I completely believe it. You know, I know it's all rigged, like the whole Super Bowl last year, like it was just, that storyline was just too juicy for the NFL to give right. up, you know, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and honestly, in 2020, and I see the sacrifices too, you know, because in 2020, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, Lamar Hunt died, right? Last year, Len Dawson died before the season, you know, and like just this year, Norma Hunt passed away before the season, you know. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know. Yeah, she passed away before the season.
Oh.
Yeah, so that happened. So I honestly think the Chiefs are going to repeat, and I think Norm Hunt was a sacrifice. But hey, I don't know what the gematria numbers add up to, bro. But like, that's just I've seen it happen twice now. So
right. You may be on something, because I only know the number side. But I would think it would be cool to have. Yeah, I would see them back into it too, because when the Maui fires broke out. The guy mm-hmm. that who was crying, well, he was kind of fake crying about his home being devastated. He had a Patrick Mahomes jersey on.
Did he?
Weird. Huh? Out of all of this, a guy from Hawaii has a Patrick Mahomes jersey on right before we start the NFL season. So I thought that was kind of suspicious. But you don't think Buffalo has a chance to go? Because you know they'd be trying to pump that DeMar Hamlin situation up.
I know. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's possible. You know, I do think I think as the season goes, I don't think it's like, hey, this is exactly what is going to happen, you know? I think some of it, there's a little bit of free will intertwined mm-hmm. in there. And then whatever kind of transpires, you're like, all right, what numbers can we use? And then what's going to make us the most money? I think it's it's an equation, a combination of things, you know? But it's definitely influenced. There's no doubt about that.
I'd be trying to tell people, and it keeps people send me clips and videos of what people, I say, fam, I'm the one that's telling y'all it's rigged. Why are you sending me clips somebody that's rigged? I'm the one that's telling you it's rigged. I told people, just like they have the Bilderberg meetings to know mm-hmm. what to do to everybody around the country, the NFL owners and the NFL coaches and top administration, they all have a meeting before the season to tell that they have a meeting just like the Bilderbergers do about who's going to be in the championship, what players are going to bring up, what guys are going to bring down. So it's all entertainment. It's all, how can we get people glued to the TV screens? Because it's hard to get you to sit there and watch a 2-hour, 3-hour game anymore, because there's so many commercials. If the game mm-hmm. is low, people will get up and leave. That's why right now, football looks like, to me, looks like 7-on-7. If you know what I mean, it looks like, this is, you can tell something, it's not right. It's been tampered with, but people can't, they just can't understand it. Do you ever tell your friends like, yo, it's rigged?
Bro, 100%. I remember, it was like week 3 last year. And I was at my in-laws' house and I was talking to a big brother, grew up with the Bull, you know, and he's actually a diehard Eagles fan, right? I told him I was walking around the pool and I was like, bro, listen. And I told him same thing I told you. I was like, 2020, Lamar Hunt died. I was like, this year, the sacrifice was Len Dawson, bro. I was like, geez, this was week three, you know? So I find people are so emotionally tied into those things, you know? And it just upsets them when you tell them that, you know? And it is what it is. It's not going to change my viewpoint on it. But like, for them to truly accept that, like, paradigms are falling, right? Man, you know, like, but they're so emotionally tied into it. It's like, it's a deep shape to their foundation, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I get it because I used to be game day jersey on, you know, when we needed something, I got 3 fingers in the rug, like I'm a D-line, you know what I mean? Like invested in front of the TV, you know?
Right.
So I get it, but for some reason, slowly over time, I was able to accept the fact that, hey, it's influence at the very least, you know, possibly just completely rigged, which is what I believe now, you know. And it is what it is. And thing is, when you're focused on the right things, when you're focused on the truth, you're focused on the family, you're focused on doing those 2 things, I could spend all my days with my family in the scripture. You know, I wish I didn't have to, you know, go out, find job, work, do these things. You know, that this is where I want to spend my time, you know. So to spend 3 hours at the very least on your favorite, with your favorite team on Sundays, and you do that for now, what, 18 weeks, make the playoffs, you're looking at 22 weeks. Like, man, that's 60 hours. That's like 2 complete days. If you're just watching your favorite team, that's like 2 complete days every year where you're just watching football. It's like 2 days where you could be, that's 2 days of reading scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could, if you read for 60 hours straight, you can probably read through the whole Bible.
Right.
Close to it, you know?
So let me bring it back to scripture. Who is your favorite character, or what's your favorite character and story in scripture so far?
So I have not read through the whole scripture, working on it. I got through, I've read some of the gospel, but I have gone back into the Old Testament and started digging into the Old Testament as well. I've read Genesis. I've read Exodus. You know, I actually jumped a little bit ahead and started reading Joshua. So honestly, right now, I would have to say I do like Moses, man. You know, humble. Not very outspoken, you know, which is why he also had Aaron with him, you know, to kind of be more the voice, but just like super obedient, you know, minus the one thing that kept him out of the land, you know. But I think that's someone to model after, you know, just be obedient to Yah, just be obedient, you know. And that's what me and the wife have said, like, whether Yah has this, I understand there's some free will mixed in there, of course, and you can ask him for what you want, ask him what you want, right? Or for what you want. But like, if Yah was like, hey, Nick, you're just meant to live this very plain life, you know, not have a lot of extras, I'm okay. You know, that's the type of a surrender I want to put forth for him.
Right. Is anything in scripture that you struggle with or you just can't get an understanding on?
No, I mean, it's honestly pretty simple, you know, you follow the laws.
Right. Is this as simplistic as that?
Yeah. You know, you follow the laws. And I think that's what it is. Learning the Sabbath. Like I said, I'm definitely going to dig into this and get those down. Cause I really do think that's the next step for me and my family.
And why do you believe that people cling, even if they know the truth, why do you think people cleave or cling to their religions, especially when it comes to Catholicism or Christianity. I mean, Muslims, they you know, it's kind of a hit and miss because they're born into it. But some, like you said, most of them don't follow it. They're just born into it. But when it comes to Christianity and Catholicism, it's like it's hardwired into their program. Like that's who they are. And that's what they're on this earth to be. Why do you think people cleave to these religions?
It's the, again, it goes back to that emotional attachment they have to it, you know, which is a good thing. Like we have an emotional attachment to the truth of Yah, right? So they just have that, they have that same emotional attachment, but it's just attached to not the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing when you tell someone the sports are rigged, you know, it's hard for them to accept because they're really going to have to change like some fundamental foundational things of the way they think, right? You see it in the medical world, right? My wife, she's a nurse practitioner, all right? So there's a lot of lies that go on in that world, but these doctors have spent 8-10 years in school and hundreds and thousands of dollars, right? So you're telling them, hey, everything you learned is pretty much wrong. Mm. You know, they're like, what are you talking about? I spent 10 years and, you know, $250,000 doing this. It's not wrong. It's that emotional attachment. So I think it's the same thing with religion, you know, with Christianity, with Catholicism. It's like you have this emotional attachment to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've spent every Sunday in church for the last 30 years of my life, you know, or whatever, however they're emotionally attached to that. You're going to tell me it's wrong. Like, that's a big pill to swallow, right? But again, scripture tells us to be humble, you know, and accepting that you're wrong is probably one of the most humbling actions you can put forth, you know, except like, hey, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a humble action right there. So it's definitely killing the ego.
What part of Florida are you in?
Clearwater.
Oh, you're in Clearwater. That's further up north, yeah. Right?
It's like central, so I'm probably like half hour from Tampa.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, I'm on the West Coast. So yeah, literally like right in the middle of the state.
Oh, okay. Has your wife seen any uptick in COVID? Because you know they're coming out with those restrictions and vaccines again.
Yeah.
Has she seen anything about that?
We hear about it. So she works for hospice.
Okay.
So it's a little bit a little different, but. Upticks, I don't know. I haven't really talked to her about it, but it's you hear people talking about it down here for sure. You know, and I got family in New York. My mom's in New York, you know, so they know where I stand with all of it, you know. But last time I talked to her, she did say that, you know, the news is talking is talking about that. So
did she get vaccinated or?
Last time I spoke with my mom, she had not gotten vaccinated. She was the only one in the family over there that had not gotten vaccinated yet. But like, it's almost like she wanted to. I think one day she was supposed to, and then something happened. But everyone else in my family did. My dad did. My dad got a few of them, you know, but like, they know where I stand. And, I shared what I thought, you know, I tried to say, hey, look, again, we have that health and wellness background, you know, so we tried to share, but, you know, you can't tie people down. You know, they're adults. They're going to make their own decisions.
Okay. For this last question, what's your advice as far as being a man of your household? What is your advice to this generation of young fathers, young husbands, or men who are seeking a wife to follow in this truth because you're doing it so well? What is your advice to young men out there that are soon going to be in a position or want to be in your position? What is the advice that you have for them?
Sure. While you are single, while you are searching, you know, just get all your ducks in a row, man. Get into scripture, you know, make sure you're in a position to provide, you know, because I wasn't, you know, and then I'm like fumbling now to figure out how to get to that top seat in the household, right? Get in a position to provide, you know, and make sure that when you do find someone that or when you are looking for someone, that they have Yah in front of you, you know, because that's what needs to happen. Like your significant other needs to love Yah more than you, and you need to love Yah more than your other, you know, like Yah's first, you know, scripture's first, you know. As long as you do that, I think there's a lot of blessings that can fall upon a partnership.
Nick, man, it's been a blessing. It's been a true blessing to actually meet you and get to know you. And didn't even know you were a Chiefs fan starting out.
Hey, listen, that's why I chose 27, man. You know, I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to choose this number, bro. I don't know.
Man, I definitely got to check in with you even if we get to the future and all that. But it's definitely been a blessing. And I hope you and your family are protected and blessed by Yah, especially with these foreseeable plagues, famines, and pestilence that's going to be unleashed pretty soon. So it was great to have you on this show and actually hear your perspective and your side of your walk and family life.
Hey, Larry, I appreciate you, man. Seriously, all praise to the Most High. Thanks for allowing Him to let me be here. You know, so I hope that your listeners can get something out of this. A regular dude just trying to walk in the truth.
I feel you. Send me your IG too when we get off the show.
I will. All right. So actually, I'll be off. But right now, I deactivated IG, Facebook, just trying to get off social media a little bit. But I'll shoot you a message on IG, or I'll send it in my email.
Or you can just send me a text, bro. You just send me your number.
Okay. All right. Cool.
See you later.
All right.